Okay, thank you. I'm not sure if many of you realize the dark store element of things, and I'm not going to go and elaborate on the dark store phenomena that's occurring in the state. What I am going to ask you to do as citizens of the city as well as the state is call your legislators. Talk to them about the dark store phenomena that's going on and the unfair reverse taxation that's occurring with this item. Okay? It's sad. That's what it really is. And the state does not want to take up that item. We need you as citizens to call your legislators and force the item. That's when they might make a move on it. Okay? Okay, I had a motion and a second, correct?
Yes.
All in favor?
I got a question.
Alderman.
Let's have a roll call.
Alderman Barber, and then we'll have a roll call.
Would Lot 1 accommodate their expansion as well, or isn't that possible?
No.
It would be too tight. Mm-hmm. Actually, they wouldn't be able to meet setbacks, and I think they want some space between the two buildings.
And you also know that road will be expanded sometime down the road in the future.
The one on Lot 1?
The
road there?
Lover's Lane?
No.
That one will be.
That one will be.
Yeah. So what about the one on Lot 1 back there?
Not Forest
Home. Yeah, no. I doubt it.
So that could be a warehouse, but
okay.
It's not possible.
Right.
Madam Clerk, could you call the roll, please?
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor? Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
The motion passes. 4 in favor, 1 against. Item G6 is found on page 85.
Can we take up item 12, please?
Yes, we're going to take up item 12 first. So we're going to go to page 159. Ordinance to amend a unified development ordinance zoning map to rezone certain parcel of land from R3 suburban estate, single-family residence district, to R8 multifamily. Do I have a motion on this matter?
So moved.
Second.
I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 5 in favor, none against. We'll go back to G6. This is the presentation of the results of the City of Franklin's community survey on public safety options. The marketing company, Will Miller Communications, will present its facts.
Yeah, close, I think. Hot.
It's warm. So then after Miller Communications presents their survey results, then staff will provide our information. Alderwoman.
Could we have a little background on how the survey came about and what the council's process was? Because I think I'm getting a lot of calls that I did this, I put this question together, so I'd like the residents to know just how little the council had on putting this together.
So I'm Natalie from Miller Communications. Can we hear me all right? All right. And we've got Sue Peterson from Community Perceptions with us today. So in terms of the process here, we did work very closely with the police chief and the fire chief, the administrative team, the city treasurer, to look at all the information we put together in the options assessment that looked at kind of the challenges facing the city when it comes to public safety needs and funding options to meet those needs. Put that background document together and then worked with Community Perceptions to develop a survey, kind of using that source information to develop questions and options to get feedback from the community. So that was mailed to every household. Sue will kind of give the background on kind of number of folks that responded and how we did that, but folks were received a survey via mail, had the opportunity to respond online, or could submit via mail or drop off at the clerk's office. Does that kind of answer the questions that you were looking for? Are there any others I can address? No problem. So I will turn it over to Sue then.
Great. Okay, good evening. So my job really as a partner in Community Perceptions is to present to you the results of that survey that was conducted this summer. We sent that survey out in July, and it went to every household in the community in your city, and it had a one-time use access code. So we've built proprietary software that ensures data integrity, so that survey access code can be used once and only one time. We mailed just over 14,000 surveys, and of those, 3,296 responses we saw, or a 23% response rate. So in comparison, we do hundreds of surveys like this every year. A 23% response rate is absolutely excellent. We're usually looking for an 18 to 20% response rate. We'll know we'll have a good statistical sample then. And so when I look at your data, you're going to have a margin of error of 1.7%. All right, so one of the things we do is collect information on the respondents, so those that took the survey. We do this because we really want to make sure that your community is accurately represented, so all subgroups of your community have a chance to respond. So as you can see here, we wanted to see if those of voting age were represented, and those folks over the age of 65, 48% of the survey respondents were over the age of 65. And we know those people definitely show up at the polls. So when we are going to give you some feedback on where will your constituents stand if you should move to a referendum, again, that's good data for us. We wanted to know how long folks have lived within the city. You can see here that folks seem to move to the city of Franklin and stick around. So 25% of the respondents have been in your community 11 to 20 years, 46% more than 20 years. We said what is best describes your housing status. As you can see here, 91% said that they own, 8% said they rent, and 1% suggested other. So the survey really has two purposes. One is to educate the community on the needs of what's happening, and the second is to gather that information and feedback. So again, we provided information letting folks know what it is that the EMS and the fire department does, so that need for providing basic and advanced life support and your fire response, as well as those non-emergency services that your fire department provides. We let them know that you've had a growing number of calls annually, and then again showed them a graphic here that showed how many personnel are at each station, and again, that extreme increase in calls that you've seen since 2003. So then we asked a question here and said, how important is it to you that the City of Franklin provide high-quality, responsive emergency services? As you can see here, looking at all respondents, people feel it's important. 72% of all of the survey respondents said extremely important. So then we said, all right, we've got some needs. We let folks know how you're currently funding your fire and EMS staffing. And we said that there really is a need to increase that staffing by about 9 firefighters to meet national safety and response time standards. And again, we showed this graph that showed the per capita of where your spending falls compared to other communities. We said, what advice would you give the city based on this information? And definitely a strong nod from your community, with 66% of your survey respondents saying, yeah, it does make sense to explore funding options to increase your fire and EMS staffing to that national level. So then we said, all right, we've really got options of how we would do that. But, of course, the first option is really to, do nothing. So maintain that current level of service. 36% of the respondents said yes to that, 49% no, they're looking for, they really do want an increase in service, 15% of the respondents were undecided. So then we said, all right, if we want to increase staffing, another option is to not raise taxes, but to go ahead and cut other things within your city budget. So are there other services or things that could be reduced? And again, I think you've got a pretty decisive response here, with 49% of the respondents saying, no, that isn't the way we were interested in you solving the problem, 36% yes, and 15% undecided. So then we look here, and you can see that with option 3, we said, all right, in order to staff 9 more firefighters, we would look at about a $45 increase for every $100,000 of property value. And in this question, we see that movement towards yes, that this is the way we think as a community the problem could be solved, with 46% of survey respondents saying yes, 42% no, and 12% undecided. We then moved on to explain some background information about your police services. And again, we let folks know that as a city, you have fewer officers per person than nearly every other municipality in the county, and the lowest per capita in expenses for law enforcement, and that you too, as in police, have seen an increase in calls and need for services. So again, we provided some additional graphs to educate folks on that and let them see a comparison. And again, we asked the question, what advice would you give to the city? 63% of survey respondents said, yeah, it makes sense to explore funding options to add 3 additional police officers. Just over a quarter saying maintain that current level of police services, 6% not sure, 5% provided a fill-in-the-blank where they had some other suggestions on perhaps how to solve the problem. So then we allowed people to say, well, here again are some options. One is we can do the same thing we proposed with your EMS and fire, which is should we cut other city budgets and services, reduce those in order to solve the police issue? And you can see here 54% are saying no, that isn't the way we'd like you to go about it, 31% yes, 15% undecided. And then we said, all right, our next option is that we would raise taxes, $15 for every $100,000 of property. And again, you can see here just about 50%, 49% are saying, yeah, that does make sense, that is how we feel you should solve the problem, 41% no, 10% undecided. So that goes through your data. The one question we didn't ask was, as you look at this, what we didn't do was combine the two tax impacts together. We wanted to, you know, because we don't know where the data is going to fall. I think as you work through this process now, post-survey, you know, it probably is a tax impact piece that you'll want to be conscious of. So, again, adding that tax impact from your EMS and fire, as well as the police, you know, you'll be adding those together. So I think an area to be conscious of as you make a decision moving forward. Questions for either of us?
Statistically, how do you compare? I don't want to compare this to South Milwaukee, but I want to compare this to
South Milwaukee.
Now, as a total, you see our numbers. How does that compare to your global research that you do in this area?
So our survey data is extremely predictive. So when we can get a good statistical sample of a community, we do feel, and we've been doing this for 16 plus years, that our data is extremely predictive of what would happen at the polls. In your case, we don't have a 63% or 65% yes, increased taxes. So that's why, what we saw was that your community is saying, these are things that are important to us. It does make sense we do want to solve the problem, and that we feel the best way to solve the problem is to look at a referendum and increasing taxes. However, I would caution you that, you know, you're at the bubble, so it's going to come down to tax impact. And so as I look at your data, that's the, you know, I can see that your community isn't saying we're fine. Statistically, when we look at, you know, you'll have some residents that say, I don't think we need to increase things. But as we look at the data, you've got a strong support for increasing and making sure you've got good quality services. But I would just caution you as far as what that tax impact would look like.
Correct. In my analysis, I saw that we were on the bubble. It could go either way. It really depends on the turnout. In November, there are some critical key positions that are up, and so it's a toss-up, really. So, Alderman Taylor,
I know that when you guys decided to put the survey together, you talked about increase in calls for service, but some of the feedback I've gotten is, well, what about the response time? That's one thing that I see no data on it. I mean, and that's the feedback. The overwhelming is, okay, fine, we can understand the population's grown, there's more calls. How does that relate to response time? And why was that? Do we have that data? We chose not to use that data. I mean,
Right. So I don't want to. Can we call the? Can the fire chief come up here to help answer some of these questions? Because we
sure.
did talk a little bit about response times.
Okay. Adam.
I'll give you this.
Chief.
So two issues with regard to response times. Historically, it has not been entered in a database going years back. So to compare where we were at 10 years ago to where we are at right now, I don't have those numbers. It would be very difficult to get them. The other point that we kind of discussed is we're not yet at that point where our response times are dropping off. They're actually pretty respectable, and I look at them every day, and some of the things we've done as far as the traffic preemption and stuff has helped that to stay low. What the problem we are having is to get all the required trainings done, to do everything else we have to do during the day. Our crews are running from call to call quite literally before they get back in the station, so they're not always a full crew when a fire call comes in. That was the incident we had not too long ago. And for that reason, it's like we've made every adjustment we can make, but that's the next thing that's going to happen. And we'll be able to see that over the years as we go out, as we now do track that very accurately, we will see where that goes in the next few years. Another point I would like to make is I believe this gets us to where we should be right now. It doesn't account for all this future growth and population that's coming in. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Problem is that was not related in the survey, and so I think that just makes it very difficult. I mean, this community, all I heard was nothing but why this is a terrible idea, you know, on social media. That's all I heard. I didn't see any positive of moving forward with this, nothing but negative. Then I take a look at how the mayor sat here and somehow Ballpark Commons is now getting tied to this entire survey, which it's a separate issue. And then the mayor talked about senior housing, and so it's just this negative feel that's going to be out there. I just don't know how in, you know, 2 months, how you can, I just don't think this is rolled out well. I don't think the information in there was well done. The fact that it's basically 50-50, you know, isn't urging me to say, let's put this a referendum. You know, I know South Milwaukee got 67%. Okay, this is not South Milwaukee. And I mean, I don't think we're voting tonight whether we're putting it a referendum or not. But I definitely don't see the results as anything that's positive. Based on, I don't think that the right information was put out there in front of the community, and I think, you know, that's a problem.
Thank you, Steve. Any other comments on Alderman Mayor?
Just a question for the. Survey experts. The margin of error is 1.7%. So when we look on the option 3 for fire and police, where it's 46%, 42%, 12%, is that 1.7%?
Go either way.
On the same level as these, so adding 1.7% or taking 1.7% off.
Right. And we also know that your undecided folks will typically see about a third will move to a yes or in support. And two-thirds typically are too nice to just tell us no right away. So, you know, you'll probably pick up another, if we're looking at the option that I've got up right now, 4% would move to yes is what we've seen. So of those undecideds, you're going to pull 4% over to yes, 8% would move to no.
And it's comparable to just take those numbers and add that to the other one.
So that means the police side of things would look more favorable than the fire side of things.
No.
And it, just so you know, from a city standpoint, council members, we may have to look at doing some community outreach to educate. We talked about educating. We're going to talk a little bit more. Mr. Liberta is going to give us our options and presentation with options and what we're going to consider to go next, but we're not going to make a decision until our next meeting, which would be August 21st. But there have been some changes that have gone by, but in essence, if we would consider this, we have to really reach out and hold some meetings within our automatic districts to really push, let's say, not to push it, but to educate, so all the citizens can make the proper decision that they see appropriate for their lives. Any other questions?
Just a comment.
Mike, Mr. Barber.
I've read the same social media, and I've picked up on the negativity within that forum. But the people that have contacted me personally seem to be in favor of the referendum, and they're in favor of supporting our police and fire. So I'm kind of torn between what you read and then what you hear from people. And the people that have come up to me and talked to me about it were in favor of it. So that's my only input into that. That I think there's a lot of hype that goes into social media and a bandwagon kind of a thing. But people that are actually going to be out there having to deal with it have said that they'd be in favor of it.
Okay, thank you.
Not that the others don't have to deal with it, but they've come to me and talked to me about it.
Thank you, Michael. Seeing no other questions from the council, Natalie and Sue, I'd like to thank you very much for spending part of your evening with us. And then we will go on to Mr. Liberta. And he will dazzle us with his mind. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Is their job now complete?
Mr. Liberta, do you require the services of Natalie and Sue?
I'm just thinking about can we use them for more social media accuracy, because I agree with much of what Alderman Taylor had said about the ties with the economic development that just were misleading.
If I recall, their original proposal gave us an idea of, if we decided to pursue this, what would be costs for steps going forward. But I believe as far as our immediate contract, it really deals with everything up to this stage, if I recall correctly.
Maybe just something.
Natalie's shaking her head, so I'm going to assume I got that right. So then what I want to do, their role was to bring you the results of the survey. What I offered to do for the chiefs and the mayor was step in and sort of present, okay, what are our options going from here now that you have those results?
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Mark, there were areas in the survey for comments as well. Did we get that information?
The individual comments are being prepared in sort of a theme block. So they're finishing that up. We should have that on Thursday. And we'll distribute that to the aldermen on Thursday. So since some people comment in a lengthy manner, some short, they review every single comment and sort of combine them into themes so that you understand what were the nature of the comments that were provided.
Can I jump in? Can I talk about comments? So there's an intentional reason that we don't bring you the comments tonight. So here's what I want you to think. Just like social media, one person will say something, and then a few people will jump on the bandwagon. So use today and the PowerPoint and the presentation to think data-driven decisions. Use the comments to fill in the rest of the story. So while you've heard that there's people that aren't excited, that weren't okay with some things, when we look at the statistical data, as far as do people support increasing in both the fire and EMS and the police, we saw when we have a statistical sample of your community that there is support. But you've got noise, and you've got people, you know, extending their opinion with an extended comment, which is extremely important. So I say you look at data first and say, all right, here's where our people are at, but maybe where are these no people, because we're on the bubble, where are they? All right, let's look at the comments to tell the rest of that story. So I always want you to spend, 24, 48 hours digesting data and then saying, now let's introduce the comments.
Will we be able to tell where those comments are from in terms of the yes or no? Yes.
We can provide it to you in that form as well. What we'll do is we'll organize what were things we heard over and over and over. So sometimes people all of a sudden have a thought later in the survey and write it, but it really is consistent and thematic with something that other people wrote earlier. So they're the raw comments. We just organize them according to themes. But we can also provide it to you that way.
So we're going to actually see the actual comments.
You will.
Correct.
That's the way. And we're going to identify what were the five or six things that were said over
sure.
and over and over. And that's important.
Yeah.
But what every person said is important. What you want to look at is what is constantly being. Because that's, in essence, the chirping
right.
of, like, this is where a lot of people, this is what a lot of people are feeling or thinking.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Michael.
In your experience, the comment section, would they normally be coming forth from people that have voted no as opposed to people that have voted yes? Is there any correlation there?
The comments always correlate with the data. So if I'm going to say yes to something when I have an opportunity to comment, I'm either going to not comment or I'm going to write something in support. So while you may see, oh, there's a lot of people concerned about I'm already paying a lot in taxes and my taxes are going up. Okay, yep, you know, that's going to be a theme, I would imagine. And the reality is that should make sense based on the fact that we're not seeing people are saying, yeah, if we increase taxes by 45 and 15, you know, you're there. Because I think that's probably, if I was going to look at all your data, the tax impact is where most likely where the struggle is. So you'll see that as a theme. So if you're feeling like people only comment if it's negative, not necessarily. We really see that it correlates with the data.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You're fine? Okay. Mark.
Okay. So I want to talk not just about the referendum, but the survey options had in total five options, two for fire, three for fire, two for police. The options of maintaining the current staffing or achieving public safety increases through budget cuts, those are issues that we normally address during the regular budget process every year. We get requests for personnel, we balance the budget and figure out how we're budgeting each year. And those options do not have a pressing statutory deadline, and those can be addressed in a time frame as determined by council and as the budget. So most of what I'm going to talk today about is about the referendum option because it does have a statutory timeline if you're wanting to pursue it sooner. The referendum option, as stated in the survey, if you're going to add public safety staff, one of the options was to increase the local municipal property taxes, which requires a referendum. To do that, the referendum question has to be approved by the Common Council and to the clerk by August 28th, so that may be submitted to the county by the statutory deadline of August 29th. So if you're wanting a referendum this fall, you really do need to approve a resolution at the next meeting or a special meeting between then. Anyway, it has to be before August 28th. So I'm going to go sort of through the issues when considering a referendum. The first obvious one is it viable or desirable to pursue? You've seen the results. Do you think that makes it worth investing the sort of the time and effort and money in adding the referendum to the question? I think that really becomes a function of the need, how much the departments have expressed and communicated, the fact that their services rely on the additional staffing, the public support you've just heard a presentation on. And I think preparedness, I chose that word, and it really gets to the issue Alderman Taylor said. Given the time frame, can we present enough education and information between now and the election date to try and ensure enough individuals have the information where we think they would vote potentially yes, if that's the belief the Common Council would like to see occur. So if you think it's viable and desirable to pursue a referendum, that second question there, the arrow leads down to, in what year should it be pursued? Because you could say, you know, this is a good idea, but there isn't enough education out there. We need to do more. The results weren't definitive. So let's